Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti joins us. Good morning, Karen. Let's talk a little bit about the flap over the texts surrounding the U.S. strike on Yemen. And we're going to get into this a little more in about a half hour. But let's talk about the legal side of this. What laws apply to this?
Well, clearly the Espionage Act is the most important one, and that basically that's been on the books since the early 1900s, and essentially criminalizes the mishandling of sensitive documents. And so it applies to spies, it applies to whistleblowers, to the Pentagon Papers, Edward Snowden, Chelsea Manning, all those kinds of issues. And the law basically says that if you mishandle or you're grossly negligent in mishandling information that's sensitive and classified, that can be a crime, even if you didn't intend to harm anyone. And clearly this breach that we, at least what we know about, could potentially qualify under that.
So, I mean, there are hearings going on right now, but ultimately, who would decide, who would conduct an investigation to determine whether this is criminal?
Well, that's, you know, things have changed a little bit, but I mean, normally speaking, there would be a congressional investigation. There would be an inspector general who would be investigating this internally, and it could even come from above, from the president. And so I don't know if any of that is going to happen, because the way politics are these days, you know, we are politicizing some of these things. When in fact, you know, if you look at the cold hard facts here, this is a very serious thing, because it really truly endangered our military in, you know, basically telling the world that that this was going to happen, how it was going to happen, and when it was going to happen.
So is the issue, is the argument here, some in the government have said, well, this was not classified information, and many people think it certainly was. Is that the main legal point here, or one of them?
I really don't know what the defense is, because from what we are reading in, you know, pretty responsible journals, that there was an Atlantic journalist who was included on a text message, a group of messages, mm-hmm. with all of the sensitive information prior to the bombing in Yemen. And it was pretty specific about what was going to go on. And the journalist himself said, I thought it was a joke until the bombing actually happened. And then I realized I was inadvertently on it. So clearly this was very confidential information. And like I said, impacted and it threatened the lives of our military.
Let's talk about the FBI. They're investigating the attacks on Tesla dealerships and owners. Is this truly domestic terrorism?
Actually, I think it could be considered domestic terrorism, because the definition is really pretty simple. Violent criminal acts by groups or individuals, and usually there's the element of furthering certain ideological goals. And so you see this, and, you know, we saw this in the Oklahoma City bombing, the Unabomber, where you have people doing things for purposes of trying to influence the government or influence others in our population. And clearly, if people are getting together to deface and to bomb and to, you know, put graffiti on Tesla dealerships or Tesla cars, that could be deemed to be domestic terrorism.
And finally, let's talk about the case in Georgia. This week, a jury awarded a man $2.1 billion. He claimed the weed killer Roundup caused his non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now that amount is sure to be reduced, isn't it, Karen?
Well, you never know. In Georgia, there is no limit on punitive damages. And interestingly, in Georgia, 75% of punitive damages will go to the state treasury. So when the attorney's fees are paid on that $2 billion portion of the punitive damages, $65 million of it was to compensate him for his injuries. $2 billion was punitive. And if you do the math on that, the government is going to get 75%, and he's going to get 500 million in punitives. So that's the way Georgia law works. But it's interesting because there are over 170,000 other lawsuits against the company that manufactures Roundup. So there is much litigation in the future here.
Sounds like it. Are jurors free to award any amount of punitive damages?
Generally, it goes from state to state, Bob, and some states will require a basis for it. So they can look at what is made from this product every year. What does this company make per year or for the last 10 years? And the jury can use their best judgment as to what would punish them, because what would punish you, you know, might be a lot less than what would punish a big company, right? So the states vary on what is to be considered. Now, in Georgia, there is no limit, and the jury can decide it based upon whatever it wants. And because it's a product liability case, there are no limits. Now, you know, there's all kinds of rules about certain negligence doesn't get punitive damages and certain of it does. But I think the idea is the legislators want to be able to give the jury the opportunity to give punitive damages when it's a product, because if it harms other people in the public, then this is going to set a precedent that they shouldn't be doing this kind of thing.
Karen Conti, thank you as always. Talk to you next Wednesday. Have a good day.
You too, Bob.